Deacon Curley, we are preparing for the Lord's Supper this evening as well, sir.
Yes, yes, I'm aware. Thank you, though.
Yes, my dear.
Well, I haven't heard the percolator, nor have I heard Sister Susie. And it is 7 p.m. So we're going to get started. So, good evening. It is September 1st, 2024, 7 p.m., and we are ready for our walk in the Word this evening. Welcome to the three P's, praise, prayer, preaching, and equipment, teaching in accordance with Matthew 28:19-24. So, on behalf of Gavin Place Beyond the Wall, Gates of Prayer, Tabernacle, Out of the Box Ministries, and Enlightenment Ministry, we welcome you to our Walk in the Word. This evening we're going to be blessed by our Walk in the Word by Sister Barbara Watson. We're going to begin with prayer. I heard two people ring in. Good evening, welcome, caller. Good evening, welcome to the call. So we're going to begin our session tonight with prayer by Ruby Dudley, and then we will have a song, and followed by the Lord's Supper, and then we will have our Walk in the Word by Sister Barbara Watson. We're ready to begin.
Our Father, Lord God, we come this evening saying thank you. Lord, we're so grateful that you woke us up this morning. But, Lord, you didn't stop right there. You brought us down to the 7 p.m. hour. We come thanking you and praising you this evening, Lord God, for life, health, and strength. Lord God, we come right now in the name of Jesus asking that you forgive us for all our sins, Lord God. Lord God, we come inviting the Holy Spirit to come on in wherever we may be sitting or standing. We invite the Holy Spirit to come on in, move, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to thank you because you've been mighty good to all of us, God. You've kept us from any hurt, harm, or danger, Lord God. You provided for us, Lord God. Lord, we come praying for the sick and the bereavement right now. We lift up some
Yes.
family to you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. You said that you would be our comforter, Lord God. So we're just praying for peace in that family in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come lifting up Apostle to you. We come lifting up Minister Singleton to you. We come lifting up each and every preacher that's on this line, God. And, Lord God, I thank you for the men that's on this line. I thank you for the men that come faithfully, Lord God. Lord God, I just want to praise you this evening because you've been so good to me. Lord God, we thank you for Minister Singleton as she continues to lead us, your children, God. Lord, have your way. Have your way in this service tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen.
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 Amen. The times of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell.
Yes.
Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do.
Yes.
What he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Yes.
With all wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Yeah.
There is no light, for in his light, never walk alone.
Oh, yes.
There is no power can conquer you when God is on your side. Take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Yes, yes.
With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Amen.
So right about it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen, minister.
Good evening again. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper this evening, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27, and it reads, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Mm-hmm. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." As we come to the Lord's table this evening, there are 7 points that I would like for us to remember about the Lord's Supper. The first one is that it is a divine command because Christ said, "Do this."
Yes.
Secondly, it is a blessed privilege. The table we come to is the Lord's table and not ours. Jesus is our host. We are invited to his table by his grace. We who sin against him and dishonor him are welcome to his table. What a privilege we have. Thirdly, the Lord's Supper is a necessary memorial. The Lord's Supper reminds us of the cost of our salvation. It reminds us of the price Christ paid for us. It reminds us of his faithfulness to go to the cross in our place, paying a debt that we owed that we could not pay. Yes, the Lord's Supper is a willing testimony. By taking part in this service, we are willingly testifying to others our belief in Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world and our personal Savior. Yes, our personal Savior. For we have made the Romans 10:9-10 sincere declaration, but we have done more than that. We know that we are connected to the true vine, John 15. We know that he, Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us, Acts 1:8. We also know in Acts 2:38 that he, Holy Spirit, comes and lives and dwells on the inside of us, and we must activate he, Holy Spirit, in our lives through surrender, submission, and walking in obedience. Yes, the Lord's Supper is a humbling confession. We are confessing that we cannot save ourselves. We are not worthy of his grace. Yes, grace, grace giving us that very thing that we don't deserve, and mercy keeping back the things that we do deserve. Yes, we're not worthy of his grace. We are admitting that without Christ, we are nothing. The Lord's Supper is for imperfect people because perfect people don't need it. Yes, the Lord's Supper is an act of faith. The Lord's Supper not only looks back to the cross, but it also looks forward to the crown. and looks forward to his return. And you all, he is coming back. He said he was coming back. Our hope is in his return. And when Jesus left the table, he went out to die for each of us. And lastly, the Lord's Supper. It is an awesome warning to eat the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner carries a grave warning. Never be nonchalant or make a mockery of the elements. Do not be frivolous and careless, but rather focused and committed. We as disciples of Christ, as we go over to Luke chapter 22 and begin looking at verse 14, what does it say? When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus says, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering began. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine, and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Verse 19 says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gathered it to the disciples. He gave it to them, and he said this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Notice what verse 20 says. It says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. You all, it was the blood of Jesus. It was the finished work there at Calvary that we today, after making that sincere declaration of Romans 10, 9 and 10, we can say that we are forgiven. We can say that we are redeemed. We can say that we are children of the King. We can say that we are ambassadors of Christ Jesus. It was the blood of Jesus, not of a goat, not of a lamb, not of a sheep, but the blood of Jesus. And because of the shed blood of Jesus, there's no need for us to this morning to have gone into our places of worship to take a sheep or take a dove or take a goat. It was no need because the work was finished there at Calvary.
Yes.
So tonight as we come to the table, let us now take the bread that represents the body of Christ Jesus. Let us eat. Now let us take the fruit of the vine that represents the shed blood of Jesus for the remission of our sins. Let us drink. I want to remind us as disciples of Christ that we have a commission, that we have been called to go and to make disciples. We have been called to teach. We have been called to baptize. My question tonight is this, will you go? Will you carry out the mandate that we have been given there in Matthew 28, 18 through 20? Will you go? Will you go and make disciples of all nations? Will you baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? Will you baptize them in the principles and in the values and the commands of the Father and the Son? Will you tell them that they have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of them? Will you teach them? Will you teach them to obey all the commands that God has given us? And notice what he tells us in this scripture. He says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Go over to Hebrews 13 and 5b. He tells us that he promises us never to leave us and never to forsake us. This evening, disciples of Christ, I continue to encourage you, go and tell the world about Jesus, that Jesus lives and that Jesus saves. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
This is Wassano. Has anyone talked with Mr. Barbara Watson since Apostle?
Don't seem like she's on deep. I can give a few words. I could say I didn't talk with her concerning it at church. But she did say that she would do it, but if it's okay, I'll give a few words tonight.
Would appreciate that, Apostle. Thank you so much.
Amen. To all that I have not spoken to earlier, good evening to all, and again, blessings to all. Thank God again for our gathering together. We thank God for each of you. I'm just going to give you a brief word tonight. I'm going to be sharing a little short story from the 34th chapter of Genesis. Just a brief story, but it has a lot in it for us as the children of God, as far as us allowing bitterness and resentment and things like that to sit up in our heart when we have been wronged by people in our flesh. If we will allow things to sit up and fester, and sometime we can find ourselves thinking and plotting and doing a whole lot of things. You know, the firemen, and we've been plagued here in the United States with different fires and wildfires that breaks out. And, you know, sometimes the firemen have a hard and difficult job to try to distinguish those fires, and they'll use a method called fighting fire with fire. But when we, as the people of God, when we're in situations and, you know, when an animosity and things like that, and people have wronged us, and we cannot afford to fight fire with fire, that does not apply to us as the people of God. The firemen have their methods, and it seemed to work a lot of the times, but as the people of God, we cannot render evil for evil. We become no better than the person that has wronged us. Our job as Christians should be to give to people a better way, a remedy, show them a better way. So many people talk about Daniel, dare to be a Daniel, dare to be different when it comes to righteousness and doing things differently. We are not to conform to the world way of doing things, the world way of system. As you know, Romans 12 told us, don't be conformed to the world system, the world way of walking, the world way of talking. The world way of doing anything, but that we have a Savior that has come down from heaven, came down from heaven to earth, and as a babe, and he walked through this life. He was our example. He showed us the way we should handle things that happen in our lives, and he was the perfect example of what we should be mimicking and imitating when it comes to difficult situations in our lives. And we should be ready, the Bible said, to give an answer to every man that asks of us the reason of hope that is in us. And so tonight I want to talk about this little story in the 34th. I'm not going to read it, but you will find it printed, recorded in the 34th, amen, chapter of Genesis. There was a prince by the name of Shechem, and mm-hmm. Jacob had only one daughter, He had all mm-hmm. these sons, but he had only one daughter, and her name was Dinah. And Dinah mm-hmm. was out, and Shechem, this prince, he saw her, and he allowed his flesh to dictate to him in that moment of seeing a beautiful young woman and decided to rape her, take matters into his own thing. So he raped Jacob's only daughter, Dinah. And after he raped her, he decided to kidnap her or take him home with him. But after he raped her, he became remorseful in the process of doing evil. He had a change of mind, and he found himself feeling like he wanted to have her for his wife. He wanted to make things right, being remorseful. And so what he had done, his daddy, the priest, he asked his daddy, the king, to go and have a talk with Jacob, Jacob and with the sons, and he was being remorseful, and he wanted to make it right. He started having heartfelt feelings for Dinah, and he asked his daddy to make it right, to have the talk with Jacob and Jacob's sons and see what it would take for him to make things right. But I want to say to us in this story tonight about Dinah and this prince, we can never win God's cause by using Satan methods. I just want to put that out front, because sometimes when we take matters into our own hand, we can actually make matters a whole lot worse. And so, we are to cast down any thought and imagination.
I was going to be.
Someone needs to mute. Sorry,
Apostle. Amen. Again, I would like to say, before I get any deeper into this story, and make a few points, we can never, never win God's cause by using Satan's methods. Sometimes when we stoop to other people's level, we make matters even worse. It's good if we can keep a level head in situations that, you know, causes us some pain and causing us, if we could think clearly before we act. With Shechem, after he had raped Dinah, Jacob's only daughter, he felt remorseful and he wanted to make it right. So his dad went to have the conversation with Jacob, and Jacob didn't even, when he approached Jacob with the situation, Jacob didn't even utter a word. He waited till the sons came in from the field. And, of course, you know, a lot of times sons haven't lived a long time, and they feel like they should avenge, and they plotted to do evil back unto Shechem. So what they done was to get back at them for raping their sister. They said to him, okay, the only way we will allow you to marry our sister and you to give your daughters to us to marry, that they must be circumcised. And we know when the children of Israel came up out of Egypt and they was chosen to be God's favorite people, they were circumcised. And so Jacob's son said, the only way that we will allow you to marry our daughter, our sister, is that you will agree that all the men of Shechem would be would circumcise themselves. And so Shechem was, he was remorseful, and he was willing to do that. He really did. He really, in his heart, had you know, was sorry for what he had done, and he wanted to make it right. So he agreed that all of the males in the city would agree to be circumcised. Now, Jacob's son was being deceitful. Mm-hmm. They planned to, you know, take revenge and take matters into their own hand. But they said if all of the men would agree to be circumcised, then we will give Dinah to you to marry, to be your wife. But they really had no intentions of carrying it out that easily. But the sinner, Sechem, the one that carried out the rape, he didn't seek to run from his sin or to hide it or to cover it up. He acknowledged his sin, and he wanted to talk and reason with Jacob's and the brothers of Dinah. He seemed really remorseful, and he seeked to comfort her. Now, at this time, evidently she went along with it. She was pleased to stay with him. So he goes to the family, and he acknowledged his wrong, and he seeked to give Dinah a name and a standing. She would become the princess of the region, and he wanted to make her her wife. He was willing to do all in his power to heal the injury that he had caused, and she seemed mm-hmm. to be in agreement with it. But the brothers, however, they was intent on seeding the resentment that was in their heart, that was planted in their heart. These, his brothers, Simeon and Levi, they were the two that was planning and plotting to get back at them for what they had done to their sister. They carried out that, they let that seed of resentment sprout in their hearts, and they became outraged and offended. When we allow offense and outrage to sit up in our heart, it's not a good thing, because sin is like yeast. Sin is it doesn't stay where it is, it spreads. Yeast, you can put it in one corner of the loaf, but it's not going to stay in the one corner. That heat, when we get hot and get mad and get angry, and other things begin to come in and begin to feed us more and more with vengeance. And so that's what happened to Jacob's sons. When that resentment is planted in our heart, it will grow. It will take root. And if we don't deal with getting it out of there, if we allow it to sit up in there and fester, it will spread to every part of our being. And we will find ourselves acting to do to someone or to others what has been done to us. And even the thing about it is, with sin, it doesn't just stay right there. It grows. The Bible says sin is finished, it'll bring forth death. When we allow the wrong thoughts, the methods of the world, the methods of Satan to fester in us, to hang around in us, that's why the Bible says cast down every thought and imagination, that thing mm-hmm. that is not pleasing to God, that thing that, you know, sometimes we know it's wrong, but the more we think about it, the angrier we get. We're to put mm-hmm. away malice and anger. We're not to let those things live in us. We're to kill those things. And so, but these brothers were so angry, and probably like a whole lot of hothead young men, they boost one another up, and this is what we'll do, and this is how we'll do it. And so they made this plan with the men of that region, and they said, if you will circumcise all of your males, then we will mm-hmm. allow you to marry Dinah. And so they agreed to it, and the day came that they circumcised all of the males, thinking that, you know, it would get rid of, or it will cover over, because love covers a multitude of sin. So no doubt mm-hmm. thinking, this will cover what I've done. This will pay for what we've done when we sacrifice all of our males, and this thing that I've done will bring peace, and it will bring harmony back to the region. And I will take Dinah, and I will make a a respectable woman out of. The shame that I call, I will cover that. I will love that away. I will make her the prince, and, you know, she will have a different standing in the community and in life. And this was his honest way to repent for his wrongdoing. We've heard the saying all of our life that two wrong don't make no right. And so when we do what we fight fire with fire, you kill my cat, I'm going to get your dog. You know, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus told him when he walked the earth, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye. But I say to you, you know, you pray for those and you forgive them. And if you can help them, you help them. So this was the thing that the brothers were thinking, that they got our daughter, we going to get all their men. And so they proceeded to carry out their wicked plan. And in doing so, Simeon and Levi became no better than Shechem. In fact, they were worse, because he did have a remorseful attitude about his wrongdoing. And instead of them, you know, trying to make peace for real and bring peace, you know, back to the region, you know, once something is done, it doesn't matter how remorseful somebody done, it won't change what they done, but it can bring peace and keep peace. Once something has happened, only God can undo stuff that has happened. All we can do is repent and be remorseful, you know, and try to keep peace among the people. We have to sometimes consider ourselves that we've not always done the right thing. We've not always said the, you know, right thing. We've not always been frequent the right places. And we have to give other people that desire too, that we all are human and we all have errors. And if the Lord allow us to keep living, 9 times out of 10, we're going to make some more errors before it's said and done. Sometimes we just take driving, for instance, when you're on the highway and there's a car in front of you, and you have no patience for that car that is in front of you. But that car that is behind you, you want them to have patience for you. And so we've all been in situations that we should be able, as children of God and having had different experience in life, that we should learn how to have patience with one another and how to be understanding and how to forbear one another and how to be long-suffering with people and how to put up with people sometimes. Because when you think, you know, I've done this and I've not always dotted my I's and crossed my T's, glory to God. And just thinking about dotting the I's and crossing the T's, I can remember in third grade when we were learning to do the cursive writing, I had a bad habit, whether it was printing or whether it was actually writing, I had a bad habit of not dotting my I's and I crossed my T's, but I had an issue with dotting my I's. And I can remember in third grade that my teacher, and for years I had an issue with it. And, you know, long after that, Mrs. Henry, my third grade teacher, was walking the floor that day as we was practicing our writing activities. And she came and stood up behind me and looked on my paper. And she saw that I had not, after having been told many times about dotting my I's, that the letter was not finished until I dotted the I. And this particular day, she came up behind me and stood there. And all of a sudden, she took her fist and hit me in my back. And I almost lost my breath. And that wasn't the way to do it, because I find myself having to check my writing still today, because I still sometimes have a habit of not dotting my I's. But if somebody else may dot their I's, but there may be something else that you just don't do. And so you should understand my situation, whatever it was, whatever it is that I didn't get or didn't, you know, remember to do, as she had instructed. But you may dot your I's, but it may be something else that you don't do. You may not put the commas in the right place, or you may not put your periods at the end of the sentence. You know, you may not put a question mark, or you may not put an exclamation point. Glory to God. There is none of us that are perfect in any walk of life. The only perfect man that I know, amen, walked the earth over 2,000 years ago, and we are to imitate him. Amen. But we're to have mercy on one another. Amen. We're to be understanding and loving and merciful and kind to people that do wrong. Amen. Sometimes we can be in traffic and we get to get angry with somebody because we didn't leave home in time. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You mad with the one that is going the speed limit because they left home on time, but we didn't leave home, so now we're upset with them and get out of my way and move and all of the things we have and the road rage that people have. 9 times out of 10, they didn't leave when they should have left. And so not giving themselves time enough to, you know, have the mishaps and stuff that happen along the roadway. But we have to remember, and I have been, amen, I've had it happen to me. Amen. Didn't leave home quite the time I should have left. And now I'm mad with everything in front of me. And I got some words to say. I'm not hollering out of the window, and I'm not using profanity, but I'm upset with them because I didn't do something I should have done. We cannot fight fire with fire. We have to learn to be patient, and we have to learn to be kind, and we have to learn to do unto others as we have them do unto us. If we've done wrong in our life and we've been forgiven by God and we've been forgiven by others, then we should pass that on to others that come behind us. So the brothers, Lord have mercy, help me, I started to say they castrated, but they circumcised the boys, the men, the males of the town, and the third day they were still healing. While the men of the town were still healing, the third day after being circumcised, they were all probably laying around and in the process of healing, but they were still in pain. And while they were in pain, Simeon and Levi got people together, and they went in the town and slew all of the men. Lord help us. Revenge is a dangerous thing to have. It's a dangerous thing to allow to fester and sit up in your soul, in your being. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so they went in, and can you think of all the innocent people in that city after they had kill all of the young men that was recuperating from being circumcised. They ravaged the city, and they took the women and took the children and took all of the spoils and stuff. Look at all the innocent people because they allowed resentment and hatred and outrage to sit up in them, allowed it to fester. Not only that, they could have changed their mind even before going in and killing up innocent people, trying to get the wrongdoer. They kill up so many more people that done more damage than what Sechem had done. They exterminated, you know, the whole city. Look at the evil that was perpetrated. Look at the yeast. Look how the yeast of sin and resentment and that offense that we just won't get rid of it. We let it live in us. And it's just like yeast, it's brewing and it's growing and it's festering. And you're going to do a whole lot more damage than the wrongdoer done that you were trying to, you know, correct. And so they thought if they killed all of these men and took everything in the city that they would keep wrong from happening again. But that is not the way to extinguish sin. Glory to God. You only perpetrated more sin and more evil. You took more lives. You done more damage. You hurt more mothers, more fathers. You hurt more brothers. and more sisters by the retaliation. The, Jesus said, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord. God know that when man take things in his own hand, he will only make things worse. You cannot fight fire with fire when you are a child of God. And these, the evil they caused from, you know, letting yeast, letting sin, letting evil sit up in their hearts and in their minds, you know, of Jacob's sons, and it did so much more damage than the young man had done himself. You know, the goodwill of Jacob's family and stuff, people began to look at Jacob different. Jacob began to be filled with fear and had to even move from that town, afraid that there would be retaliation. We can see how much damage, outrage and offense if we don't get it out of us. You know, the Bible tells us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. We cannot sit up and think evil and evil and evil, because evil will take a hold of us. And when you are doing in the manner that Simeon and Levi done, these sons of Jacob, you know, it will cause a whole lot more problems than we had in the beginning. You know, it's a trick that we will allow a wrongdoing and evil plotting to foster in our heart. You know, it'll become a master deceiver. It will deceive us. Things not going to be the same. You can't make things even. When a wrong is committed, doing another wrong will not even the score. It will not make it right. It will not take it away. Killing all these innocent people, all these innocent men, somebody's son gone that done no wrong. And because of things that foster in our heart, if we will allow it to stay there, it'll spread like yeast, and we will find ourselves, you know, having to repent, just like this young man. He tried his best to repent and to make up for his wrong. And these young men caused the whole city, you know, to lose their lives, and women to lose their sons and their husbands and their brothers and their uncles and their nephews because of one incident. That didn't make it right. It did not make it right at all. Let us let the love of God rule in our heart. Let us allow the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to not let flesh dictate. Flesh is a mess, y'all. Flesh want three things: comfort, pleasure, and ease. And when you don't give it that, it rebels. And so these men rebelled because they and comfort, killing all of these men. It's no way they could have been comforted to have a heart for God and be comforted in what they caused. I don't know if they had any sleepless nights worrying about the cries and the blood of that town, that region, you know, falling upon their hand. The blood was on their hand. People, Satan is a master deceiver. I know somebody will say to me, I'm giving the devil credit. No, I'm not giving the devil credit. I'm just saying, stating fact. He's a master deceiver, and we are no match for him. Satan will give you stuff to say to people. He'll give you stuff to do to people. And when you have done it, you know, you the one out there sailing without a paddle on the ocean of life. He'll leave you there. He'll walk with you. He'll talk with you. The same way he talked with Jesus in the wilderness. He'll tell you what you need to do and how it's going to work out. But he'll never show you the real cost until you've acted on what he has suggested that you do. I want to say to us tonight, let us love one another indeed. Let us first of all love the Lord. Let us be quick to repent and, you know, slow to anger. Let us be quick to hear. And, you know, to the Holy Spirit, to yield to the Spirit of God, to be teachable by the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is our paraclete. It's that aid that come alongside us. When you're angry, the Holy Spirit will speak to you and say, don't think that way. Get rid of that. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit, there have been times that I've been angry over situations, and blessed be the name of the Lord in that quiet time. That spirit, amen, well up on the inside. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And say, you should not be thinking like that. You should not say that. You should not have done that. You need to make that right. But I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, we can override the spirit of the living God. Amen. Glory to God. But let us be swift to hear the Holy Spirit that talks with us, that walk with us. I believe somewhere, amen, glory to God, that these were the sons of Jacob. We often hear about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen, glory to God. These were permanent men of God. Amen, that was recorded of doing great things for the Lord. Amen, their lives, amen, was recorded, their doings and deeds of what they had done for the Lord. But here are the sons of the man of God, amen, taking matters into their own hands. That's what happened to you and I when we take things into our own hand and we refuse to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us. When we refuse to be directed by, all of these men could have still had lives. You think of all the lives that was yet not even born or come into the world because so many lives was taken for one incident. That is not fair anywhere about it. And so this is a sad little short story, but I had read it, and it's how many people were destroyed because of somebody, mm-hmm. a rage. It was a bad mm-hmm. thing. You know, it was bad. It was a bad situation for Dinah.
Yeah.
But the man wanted to write it and was not even given the opportunity to right the wrong he had done, even though he was desirous to do it. Let us, the Bible said, blessed is the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We got to realize when we fight fire with fire, the wrong we done, even though we are trying to get somebody for the wrong they're done, we have to realize that we are doing wrong and we are going to get for our wrong. So we just keep a cycle going. But let us be tuned into the Spirit of the Lord, and let us learn to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to us. Let us not override it. The Spirit of God will not strive with us always. God will talk with us. He will tell us, don't do that, don't say that, don't go there, don't think like that, go make that right, go be reconciled. The Word of God would suggest that he had went. The brothers should have went and been reconciled with the perpetrator when he desired to do it right. Even if he didn't desire it to do right, they should have left the vengeance to God. Nobody go unpunished. Nothing, nobody, everything is in the eyesight of God, because he sits high and he looks low. He see my wrongdoing. He see my wrong thinking, and he see yours. Amen. Let us allow God to intervene into our situations. He understands that people sometimes do you wrong. People do wrong things. They do things, and we have done wrong things, and we have to give people the benefit of the doubt. And whether they are remorseful or not, God has a time to set, and vengeance belongs to him. Let us not take God's job into our own hand, but let us learn to pray for those that persecute us. You know, let's pray for them, and that God will give them a heart of repentance, that they would turn and change and repent and become a child of God and be remorseful for what they have done, to give them the same opportunity that God gives us. And let us not take matters into our own hand where a whole lot of innocent people, you know, get hurt, suffer the pain that you are feeling, and even worse pain, because a lot of those men that was killed done no wrong to them, but they took innocent lives. And this is what happened when we take matters into our own hand. Let us leave vengeance to God. Let us leave recompense to him. He knows how to do it, when to do it, and who to do it to. but we can hurt up some innocent people. Sometimes we can just speak words to people that will last them a long time, a lifetime of pain. So let us be mindful and let us be merciful and let us not do God's job and try to judge you. You know, you brought judgment upon a whole city, a whole region because of one accident that happened, an error that was made, a sin that was committed. But how many more sins that they commit? Murder. Glory to God. They broke the commandments. They stole. They broke. They ravaged. They broke, amen, the sixth commandment, murder. Amen, the ninth commandment, amen. Glory to God. The method that they used was deceit. It was breaking. It was murder. Thank you, Lord God. How many more, amen, of the laws of God did they, amen, broke because they trying to get revenge, amen, for their sister's situation and wind up hurting a whole lot of other people. Let us not try to fight fire with fire. It doesn't work in the spirit realm of life. It just don't work. It make matters worse. And again, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to leave this with you. We can never win God's cause by using Satan's method. Amen. God bless you. I love you with the love of God. Amen. Be blessed. Amen. Have a great rest of your week and a happy holiday on tomorrow. God bless you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, Apostle. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Thank you for stepping in. Amen.
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 Thank you for stepping in. Amen. 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 Good message. Good message. Good walk. Good walk. Going back and read that myself. Amen. Comments, questions?
Amen. 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 I pray you can hear me tonight. God bless you, the saints on the line tonight.
Amen.
God bless your apostle for powerful words for us tonight.
Amen.
You can't win God's call by using Satan's methods. Yes, you can win by using his methods.
Amen.
What a powerful word for us, apostle. You know, I thought about so much as you were walking us through this and through that story. It is a story. I remember first reading that story. It was definitely amazing how real the word is about real life and about real people and how people behave in certain situations. And anybody, when somebody harms somebody in their family, they do have a natural tendency to want to get revenge.
Yes.
I know it's hard for us sometimes to allow God to intervene and let him fight the battle, or at least try to get an understanding of the whole situation.
Amen.
When I heard you ministering his word, what came to me, and I don't know why it kept coming ringing in my head, I started thinking about Israel and the Palestinians.
All right.
Thinking
all
about
right.
Yep. Them and God.
Yep.
And it kept ringing in my mind. And I don't want to be one to judge everything. I don't know everything about, but you talked about their daughter, their sister being raped, but a guy wanted
Hamas.
To right that wrong.
Yeah.
Yet that wasn't enough for them.
Mm-mm.
Simeon and Levi said, that's not enough. We're going to do something to them because we're going to get them.
Yeah.
I remember one of my grandsons, the youngest one, he's a pistol. And I know that some little kid did something to him at school. And I was riding, talking to him about it, and I said, man, you can't do that. He said, Pape, he got himself in something he can't get out of. I said, oh, my Lord, I got to talk to him a little bit. You know, somebody on the line know how it feel. You know,
yes,
what they did to you. So it's a real message, a real story speaking to us but our God, he did tell us to handle it differently. Vengeance is his, you say. He will repay, said the Lord. And sometimes we have to wait to let God deal with it. Sometimes we think God is not going to deal. And I used to tell apostles, I used to tell people, ain't nobody getting away with nothing.
That's
God
right.
already sees. He already knows what's happening.
Yes.
And so we don't feel that God is moving fast enough to deal with
that's
the situation.
That's right.
You know, and they took, you know, when you think about the goriness of the scene, these men trying to recover from circumcision in pain, like you said.
They probably
wanted to fight, but they were fighting and hollering at the same time. Not just hollering from
that's
the
right.
wounds, but hollering from the pain that they were suffering. All the men on the line understand.
Yeah.
Amen. So it's such a powerful story as we see this. They didn't just go and follow from Exodus where it talked about a life for a life. No, that's where we get the eye for eye, tooth for tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to kind of have revenge.
Yeah.
There was provision that God provided, but like you said, they didn't do it equally in any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went way overboard. They killed all the men. Just the women.
Mm-hmm.
They just went too far. I will say this because I don't want to, because I'm going to tell you, Apostle, it was so powerful it started ministering to him. I'm like, man, I can minister, I can preach some more about this myself. This thing is powerful.
Amen.
This thing is powerful. Listen, so these boys, we think, okay, so, you know, we'll go ahead and say this. I'll just share this. We know that these boys went too far. And like you said, it affected the whole family because Jacob was concerned about how to live in the region.
Oh,
man, this thing is so powerful. But I'm just going to say this, but I'm going to go to, in my mind, to Genesis chapter 49, because they didn't get away with it with their daddy. He still had to deal with it. He felt he had to deal with them at some point.
Yeah.
So when he was dealing with all his sons before he was getting ready to pass on to glory, he said, Simon and Levi are brothers. I'm just going to do this, and I'm going to leave y'all alone because I could go this. That's so powerful, thing
go
with something else. You hear me?
Go ahead.
Amen.
Something else. Vengeance, revenge, anger, wrath. And, you know, I'm dealing with it because it's real for me, because the flesh, you know, come on, man.
Yes,
I heard
sir.
What my friend's son said. I said, he said, he can't get out because we're going to lock it up, bro. That's how people feel.
That's how you feel.
But to be able to calm your spirit and to go in prayer, I've seen God deal with my enemy. And when he was dealing with my enemy, I said, oh, Lord, it brought me to prayer. Just like Moses, when Miriam and Aaron was coming up against him, and he just dropped to his knees. Meekness is not weakness. Come on, somebody. And he just dropped and began to pray because he knew God was coming. God is coming.
Yeah. Yes, he's coming.
Let me just say this. I'm going to get out your way and let some other people comment here. Simeon and Levi were brothers.
Yes.
This is how Jacob did it in Genesis chapter 49. And I'll just read it from the Easy English because that one's just kind of different than King James and every other version. But it says, Levi and Simeon are brothers. They use their swords only to hurt people. I will not take part in their plans, Jacob was talking. They kill men when they are angry. And they hurt animals only because they want to. So I will not meet with them. He says, may they be cursed because they are angry. This is because they are so cruel. And I will make your descendants live with other people. And they will not have their own land.
My
God. They will live all over the country of Israel. God wasn't playing. But now we know that Levites because they became the priests. They didn't have any land. But they were given an honorable role to be the priest and tend to the people.
Yeah.
Simeon, I can't tell you. So Simeon, you don't hear nothing too much about Simeon. One who hears God. That's what his name means. Levi means joint. But I'm going to say, Apostle, I just want you to know I was blessed by this. You know, you just kept building on it and building on it, and it just got stronger and stronger and tough and tough. Ooh, that stuff. So God will make sure that is dealt out. So the Father dealt with that at a later date in their life.
And
so they had to still deal with some consequences for their actions and their sin and the blessings that the Father gave out. So we thank God for that word, that message. I want to keep it in my heart. I've been blessed all day today. I keep hearing these words and this. You get blessed. We can't win. We can't win God's cause by using Satan's methods. So let me be reminded, and all of us on the line be reminded, that we must walk as people of God. We must trust God that he can answer the door, even when we want to. Let him get it. If the devil comes knocking at your door, you don't have to answer. Say, Lord, can you answer that for me? Can you take that from me? It's hard to hold back.
I've been in a situation. Yes.
Where my daughter, another young lady, was in a situation, and I had to have restraint. I could have took them all out that night.
Yes, sir.
But something restrained me. The Holy Spirit said no.
Holy Spirit.
But if it had turned out to be statutory, they all were going to jail, though, because the law of the land is still there, and I was going to go after. So I'm not talking from what I heard, I'm talking about what I know.
Amen.
You have to hold restraint. One of the men of the church, he came and said, man, I don't know how you restrain yourself. I said, brother, only by the grace of God.
Only grace.
Holding back.
Yes.
We cannot take these matters into our own hands. But sometimes we want to. We must be able to hold our peace and let God act on our behalf.
Yeah.
To God be the glory. God bless you, my sister, and all the saints on the line. May God walk with us, talk with us, and keep us in his path and in his care. Is my prayer.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The part I like is Jacob was not pleased with this mess.
No, he wasn't.
He
said to Simeon and Levi, you have ruined me.
Yes, he did.
Making me embroiling me with the inhabitants of the Canaanites.
Didn't go along with it.
No, he didn't go along with it. No, they are against me now, and you're starting to attack me. So Jacob stayed in the right path. He just had to go.
Yes, he
did.
Anyone else? I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt that. Anyone else?
It's all good. All good.
That was good, D. Yes.
Now, Apostle, for a step in, that was just fantastic. When you talk to Sister Watson, we're still expecting her.
Amen. Amen.
We
owe
one night. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen. Good evening to each of you, and good evening, Apostle. Thank you again for the word on tonight. I think maybe Pastor Kuiper left a few crumbs or nuggets on the table. The comment that we bring forth is similar also even to the teaching we had earlier this morning as we talked about how do we resolve conflict, how do we resolve strife. If we are disciples of Christ, we too experience pain and hurt and disappointment in various situations, but God is still calling us to be his disciples in how we deal with conflict, deal with strife, how we resolve it, how we approach it, especially how we approach, and he tells us how we are to love our enemies and how we are to pray for those who persecute us as well.
Yes.
So certainly tonight's lesson coincides with it. But it also coincides with how am I going to live as a disciple of Christ? Because people are looking at us as examples. They're looking at us how we respond in terms of our speech, how we respond in terms of our conduct, how we respond in terms of our actions. And so tonight you've given us, you know, the way of the Lord. And that's what we need. We need the way of the Lord. And I don't want anyone to walk away tonight to think that, hey, you know, Deborah's got it together. She can handle each situation. I can't handle any of them. But I know He, Holy Spirit, can through me if I submit and I surrender and I walk in obedience. So thank you again, Apostle, for the message this evening.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
God
amen.
Bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Singleton. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else?
Amen.
So, today is the first Sunday in September. The last time we met was, well, this morning, and then that was last Tuesday. So, has there been any kind of praise report? What good has happened between now and Tuesday and today? Anyone?
The greatest gift of all, I'm still alive.
Still alive. Amen.
Amen.
With that prayer said, I could have been dead 6 feet in my grave, but I'm here.
I'm still
yes.
here.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Fast as I used to, I'm still moving. That's the praise right there. I am still moving. And I'm grateful, grateful, grateful. God has truly been good to me. He blessed me with some wonderful, wonderful friends, a good mother, and some good, good, good teachers. Allen Edside, Reggie Kiefer, Deborah Singleton. God put those people in my life for a reason. I'm grateful for them.
Amen.
I respect them in that place, but they are good. They're close to me, and I appreciate that. And I can always call on Patches. Thank God for that. So I'm just grateful.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I thank God because I'm twice alive, spiritually and physically.
And
spiritually and physically, and I'm glad about that.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. I received your card. I received your card, Pastor Kiefer. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Deacon.
Anyone else? Proud list. Proud list this evening.
Yes,
do we have any additions to the proud list?
I'd like to put Cheryl Hitchcock and the Hodges family. She lost, her brother passed on yesterday.
Oh, wow.
The brother in Atlanta, Austell Hodges Jr.
Okay.
You might have known him, Deacon Connor Austell.
I'm trying to think. Was she at Macedonia?
I know, but he probably was in your age group back in your young day. Back in the back.
How
old? Well, she said he was 75.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Yeah, and
I was a senior.
They had about nine kids, I think. They had about eight kids, I think. So I'm sure the Hodges was running around by the truckloads in them days.
My law. My law. Anyone else?
I just asked a general prayer for my mom. The Lord awakened her in the morning. She will celebrate her 93rd birthday. Just general
All right.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
That's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Amen.
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 I ask that we keep Pat Taylor on our prayer list, and let's continue to pray for Sister Walker and Deacon Walker.
Amen.
I've missed them so much. So let's just keep praying for them. Keep lifting them in prayer.
Amen. Specifically, Sister Ruby, if they would pray, he has really, really improved, but now there's a ulcer that is breaking out. They're saying dry gangrene on his toes, so let us pray especially for that.
Amen. Oh, y'all gonna have to, oh, Lord Jesus, if ain't one thing, it's another one.
That's life. That's life.
Yeah. We would have trials and tribulations. Amen.
Amen.
But that's what we pray for.
Yes, sir, but, amen.
That's what this community does.
Amen. Yes,
anyone else?
Put Shirley Hamilton on there. She has COVID. And plus, she's got so many other issues that, you know.
Shirley Hamilton.
It's not good when you get it, when you don't have nothing wrong, but when you got a whole lot of other things going on.
Yeah, I understand the COVID is on the rise, so let's be careful.
It's running around. I don't even know if you could be careful enough with the...
Take those masks. Especially to the doctor's office.
But I'm just saying, sometimes you never know who's bringing it to you, children, grandchildren, uncles.
You don't know. You can't see it. That's an enemy you can't see.
Right. So it ain't always not careful, and you know you can't wear a mask 24/7 in the house and around the house. And she has lots of caretakers come in the house too, but I think they wear a mask.
That's right. Let's do the best we can. Amen. Anyone else to be added to the prayer list this evening?
Yes, I would like to put my cousin Shia Walden on the prayer list. A few weeks ago, they went on a cruise because she graduated from college, and she took ill the day before coming back and had to stay there for 4 days. And I got the news Saturday night that they finally got her in the hospital in Virginia, and she has cancer. So, keep her lifted up.
Oh, Jesus.
On a cruise.
How old is she?
Shia is 20. I think she's maybe about 23, 24, because she took a few years off before completing college.
Okay. Young woman still.
She's just a little baby.
Especially
when you're sick. When you said 20s.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
You don't just love baby still. Amen. Baby. Anyone else?
Yeah, she's a baby.
All right. If there's no one else, we move on. Sister Brenda, take us to the throne of Scripture. I'm sorry. Scripture.
Amen. Our scripture tonight comes from Isaiah chapter 41, and looking at verse number 10, and it reads, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." And when we go over to Isaiah 43:2, it says, "When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flame will not consume you." Amen.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Our Father.
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father. First of all, asking your forgiveness for all my many sins. I lift up tonight Pastor outside, and she has brought us your word.
Yes.
To how to live and deal with forgiveness. This is what it all boils down to. Are you willing to forgive?
Yes.
And sometimes we are so angry that we choose
to yes.
But help us to be a forgiver. Help us to forgive because you forgive us.
Yes, do Lord, do
help
Lord.
Help us to love, to forgive. So Lord, we come right now lifting up Cheryl Hitchcock. We lift up the Osbell Hodges family.
Mm.
Lift up his children, his grandchildren. We lift up his siblings. We lift up the total family as they're going through right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift up the conflict in our life that we will know how to deal with it, to turn it over to you.
Yes.
Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just come today lifting up Pat Taylor.
Yes.
We lift up Sister and Deacon Walker, Deacon and Sister Walker. We lift up the ulcer that's on his toes and the gangrene that's set in. We lift it up, Lord, for healing.
Yes,
Lord.
We lift up Shirley Hamilton for healing, Lord. You know Shirley's on oxygen. She's got so many other things wrong with her. But you made Shirley, she's been sick a long time. But we ask you for healing, for total healing.
Yeah.
We lift up Shia Walden. Ooh, Lord, nothing but a baby. And I know the age shouldn't matter, but it does because we know she hadn't had a chance at life.
Yes,
Lord, we asking you to whatever kind of cancer has taken over her body, to throw it out and to heal her body. Healing right now in the name of Jesus. We claim the healing right now in the name of Jesus.
In the name
and we're going to claim it done when it is done.
In the name of Jesus.
We're going to claim it by your stripes that she is healed. Right now, in Jesus' name, right now, in the name
of Jesus. In the name of
we
Jesus.
Thank you for your healing. We're going to go ahead and speak it.
Yes.
We thank you right now that
thank
you
your Lord.
Healed.
Yes. Thank
our
you,
body
Lord.
Is free from cancer.
Yes.
Our body
thank
is healed.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes,
she'll go
yes.
around giving you the praise. She'll go around throwing up
hallelujah.
Her hands saying, thank you, Lord, for the healing that's in my body.
God, for your glory, for your glory.
It is done, it is done.
Yes, it is done.
In the wonderful name of Jesus, it is done.
Yes. Amen. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. It has been honored and glorious evening. It has been a wonderful and glorious evening. We thank you. Starting with the opening prayer by Sister Ruby Sunshine Dudley.
Amen. Amen.
Hour of.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord. Thank
amen.
You. Especially for Apostle Alina Asadi. That stepped in at the last minute and delivered such a wonderful walk in the Word. We thank you, God. We thank you for all the comments that were given. We thank you, God, that we may be able to use those comments and those nuggets to help us throughout the rest of the week, we pray. Amen, amen. So, good night. Good night. On behalf of all the ministries that support by Out of the Box, we thank you. Good night. We love y'all.
Good night. Amen to all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, you all. Love you all. Good night. Good night.
Good night, Ruby D. Good night, Ruby D. Good night, Ruby. Good night, everybody.
We love y'all.
Love y'all.
See you tomorrow.
Good night.
See
you. Ruby D. Ruby D.